We're going to be talking about the good news and the bad news. So it'd be quite simple. But before we do that, I would like to read a little bit of the prayer request. We have Brother Kelly Lawson and Sister Ginger. They're not feeling well today, so if you'd please pray for them. Sister Dolores Ash has gone to glory. Please pray for her family and friends. The funeral will be on the August 8th at about 11. Brother Kelly has finished his chemo, and I think he finished his radiation also. Brother George, but he'll still be feeling weak, you know, for a couple of weeks afterwards. But hopefully within, hopefully before next month, he may be back up here preaching again. Please keep him in your prayers. Hallelujah. Brother Kelly and my professor at Summit Theological Seminary, George Fall, who has produced a lot of preachers. He's had a heart attack, and he's healing at home. So we would like your prayers for him also. Edward and Brenda Sandoval, please pray for Lucky that his seizures stop. He's at home from the hospital. Nora Vincent had surgery on her neck. Please keep her in your prayers and pray for healing and pray for her family also. Dr. Kent Brantley, Southside Church of Christ. If you notice, this was on a TV. He caught the Ebola virus doing missionary work with the Good Samaritans. And this Ebola virus, it's no joke. It's 90% fatal. But I believe God can heal all things. Amen. So please keep him in your prayers. Art Bigger's wife, Marie, has successfully got a stent put on her for her heart. And Brother Marshall is worse and critical. Please pray for granddaughter also. Heather Colley's sister's stepson, Tracy Elder, has cancer. Doctor trying different medicine, hopes it'll work, but he looks worse. So please pray for him also, Tracy Elder. Maggie Pope, pray for Ronald Pope, Maggie's grandson, which is in Baylor Hospital. He's very sick. Pray for Maggie's knees. They are painful when she walks. Maggie's grandson, they gave him an induced coma, and then they tried to put him out of it, but he hasn't been responding. So if you please pray for him that he wake up, get up, get back to normal. Kara Spencer is having an angiogram on both her legs. This was at July 22nd, so at Baylor. So please pray for her that everything went well. Barbara Hoover has serious cancer here. So please pray for her also. Juanita Garrison, for friend AJ's newborn granddaughter, who is on life support. Lana Aubrey had a lung biopsy Tuesday. Dr. Poole is to diagnose and treat and correct. So we'll pray for her and hopefully that she be healed. Helen McGee and Billy Wells, pray for health. Helen has been dizzy after surgery. Herb and Mary Trout moved into a nursing home and needs prayers. Sister Diana had surgery, and please pray for her continued healing. Please pray for Stephanie Vaughn's business and family. And Kepi Dill's cancer has spread, so please pray for Kepi that Kepi may be healed. And also Brother Jordy Carey, he fell and he hurt himself. It doesn't look like anything was broken this time, but his stomach is swollen. I saw him yesterday, and he was laying down, so I couldn't really see how his stomach looked. But he didn't, I guess he was just glad to see me. He didn't look in such pain. But please keep him in your prayers also. If y'all would, please bow and pray with me. Dear Lord, mighty God, great King and Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you and we worship you this day. We magnify your holy name, O Lord. We thank you for your many blessings. And we, O Lord, even as I ask, dear Lord, that you please help me. Help us. Help me, dear Lord and mighty God. I beseech thee, for I need thee every hour. I worship you and I praise you, dear God. I give thee glory this day. I thank you and I praise you, O Lord. I magnify your holy name, dearest and mighty God. I worship you and I thank you so much, O Lord, for all that you've done for me. And I ask, dear God, that you please continue to help me, O Lord. For some days are rough, some days are tough, some days are not even worth mentioning. But thou, O Lord, art the mighty King, the mighty God, able to save. Thou, dear Lord, are so wonderful. O Lord, please help us, O Lord, here at the Main Street Church Christ. Please bless us. Please strengthen us. Forgive us of our wrongs, which we do from day to day. Help us, O Lord, to be a good example of what a church should be in Christ. Help us, O Lord, and strengthen us, O Lord. Keep a strong hedge of protection about us and be with us this day. And help us, O Lord, to learn of thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, before I continue, I would like to ask if anybody has a cell phone that you please, don't make me beg, turn off your cell phones or put it in vibrate or silent mode. I will thank you. The base of the scripture is going to be from Matthew 11, verses 1 through 20. In this sermon, can anybody hear me? Oh, I got this on. Well, what do you know? Reflex is good. In this sermon, I will simply explain what is the good news and what is the bad news according to the scriptures. Before I begin, we'll be in Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to tell you a little story. Don't you just love little stories? It's not as long as the big ones, so. There was a man in his early 50s, and he goes to a doctor because he's sick. And after a thorough examination, the doctor tells him, "I've got some good news, and I got some bad news. Which would you like to hear first?" If a doctor told you that he had good news and bad news, which one would you rather hear first? I think I'd like to hear the bad news first and then be cheering up and with the good news afterwards. Okay? Forgive me of my mispronunciation at time to time. So the man says, "Well, I'd rather hear the bad news first. So let me have it." The doc says, oh, this is a male, by the way. The doc says, "If you don't quit the partying and the drinking and the smoking and the gambling and the wild women and the nightlife, you'll die before the age of 60. And he says, "Wow, doc, that's some pretty bad news." It's not like something he wants to turn away from no time soon. He holds his head down and says, "Well, what's the good news?" Then the doctor tells him, "If you quit the partying and the drinking and the smoking and the gambling and the wild women, you'll live to see 60. You see? It's good news or bad news, but you know what it depends on? It depends on us. Yeah, thank you. I got to make someone laugh. Oh, by the way, I didn't have a good week this week. Has anybody here had not had a good week this week? Raise your hands. I went roller skating, and I hadn't been roller skating in so long. And I really liked it. I didn't like the music. But I liked that rolling feeling, you know, and then I fell. Then after that, I fell again and again and again. And you know what? It didn't hurt too much until the next day. And I'm still feeling it. I thought I would be with here with a cane. And that's the bad news. But the good news is that it's going to heal soon. The good news, it doesn't matter how I fall, I get back up again. I'm in Christ. Spiritually, this is spiritual news for you. Okay? Now, before we go to Matthew, let's going to go to Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. This is a call to repentance. It's a reminder of a little story that Jesus tells, and I'll just read it to you. Verse 1, okay? There were present at that season some that told Jesus, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Wasn't Jesus a Galilean? Verse 2, and Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Don't we suffer a lot of things? I mean, is there anybody here that hasn't suffered at least one day this week? Is there anybody here that's just been totally blessed all their life? I've had my share of troubles, and more than I would like to have had I been someone else. funny stuff. Okay. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose, this is verse 2 again, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So, I got to point out that we need to repent. And not only that, after that we've become Christians, we know this, we should always repent. Don't think once saved, always saved. It's safer to work your own soul salvation with fear and trembling than to think that you got it made and find out you're wrong. Verse 4, or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This is preaching. I am preaching. This is something that you know already, but sometimes I need it told to me as a reminder. So, one, so that I don't fall into sin. Or two, that I may repent of the sin that I'm in. If you are either one of those, please repent. Now, Matthew chapter 11, starting with verse 1. And I have here written down as simply John's questions. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Okay, who said that? Who just said that? John the Baptist. So this is the same John the Baptist that had the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 1 in the mother's womb. This is the same John the Baptist that not only once but twice recorded said when he saw Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. This was John the Baptist that was a mighty man of faith, wasn't he? He waxed strong in faith, didn't he? So, He was in prison for a while. He was being tortured, persecuted. He was, they did unto him whatsoever they listed. That's what Jesus said. Verse 3 again. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Is that words of faith? So why did John say this? Though he had the Spirit, just like we do, he also had another thing that we have. You know what it's called? Yes. We are still flesh. And temptation for some of us folk, sometimes it gets tough for me. And oh boy, this week was a doozy. You know, I'm trying not to get angry. I'm trying. But there are certain things that people do. You're like, wow, this is worthy of 911. That's what I'm telling you. And then after a while, you're like, good gracious, maybe I should dial another. Maybe it's 922. I might have dialed the wrong number. Yeah, isn't that something? But we, because we're flesh, we got to try. We're warring against the flesh every day. But the longer we do it, the better we'll get at it. If we're doing it, yes? Yes. Jesus answered and said unto them, now look at this. I'm going to tell you something else. Jesus gave John the Baptist word. When we're struggling, I'll tell you what. When we're struggling and we ain't in the word, it's going to be tougher for us, I guarantee you. Because I know, I'll raise my hand. It's tougher for me. And excuse me my hobbling, but this is this roller skate. It's tougher for me. But as soon as I go through that struggle, get out of like looking at lust, turn away, get in the word. This is my advice to myself too. Looking to get angry, you know somebody, there's some people that they'll get on your nerves. Stay away from them. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm gone. Before they get on your nerve, they could cry, they could complain, they could yell, they could do what they want. You know, these people, it's a sin. Is it a sin to get angry? No. Be angry, yes, but sin not. But is it a sin to provoke someone to anger? Show is, you're doing the work of the devil if you're provoking someone to anger. You are doing the work of the devil. So stop doing the work of the devil and start doing the work of God. I don't got nothing against you. And the same thing that I would tell you as keeping this church decent and in order, that's the same thing that I'll tell anybody else who wants to show their tail. Figuratively speaking, of course. I don't got nothing against you. Jesus answered and said, verse 4, unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. Now, this is a familiar passage. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. That sounds familiar, kind of like the minor commission, right? I won't go too much into that. Where Jesus gave the disciples, the apostles, power to do these things. And guess what? They did them. They did them, even raising the dead. They did them. You could see it. They saw it. So yes, those things that were that Jesus commanded them to do in the minor commission, they did them. Verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed. You know why we're blessed if we're not offended in Christ? Because that'll keep us from losing faith. That'll keep us from eventually sinning. Now, is it a sin to be offended? No, not really. But do you do well to be offended? No. And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. So, me, when my faith is shaken, I remind myself, I got to go to that word. I even got an MP3 player. I put it in my ears. Listen to the Bible at night. You know, if the devil don't convince me otherwise. There is a devil and he is the enemy. Is he your enemy? And if he's your enemy, God's your friend. Is God your friend? Isn't Jesus your friend? A friend better than a brother? Isn't Jesus your brother? A brother better than a friend? He's a Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Why do you think that John may have been offended in Christ? Anybody? I'll give you this. Because John knew that Christ had the power to deliver him. John was in prison. Do you think John didn't think? Do you think Jesus couldn't get him out of that prison? Do you think Jesus could have come in there and smashed all those silly fools? So John was probably thinking, well, look, I'm going through all this suffering. Why doesn't Jesus help me? I know he can. Aren't we like that? We sure are. As soon as I don't get something I want, I'm not going to church. Or I'm going there late. Ha ha. Oh, what are you going to say about it? You see what I'm saying? Look, what is wrong with us? There's a story about Jesus speaking of two children. One that said, I go, and went not. And the other that says, I go not, but repented and went. I would rather you do the will of God than to say you're going to do it and not do it. I would rather I do the will of God than say that I'm going to do it and not do it. I'm ashamed of myself. I don't want to be like that. I want to do the will of God and more better. Okay? John knew that Christ had the power to deliver him, but it wasn't his will to do it. How easily we get offended at him, Jesus, when he doesn't give us what we want. And you know what easily offended equals? It equals immaturity. Immaturity. I am still growing myself. Because there are times when little things and I don't get, and this world is really taking me by storm, and I'm like, and they looking at me and telling me, are you okay? I say, no, I'm angry. Be angry, yes, but sin not. But it'd be better if you're not angry. Jesus, in verse 7, Matthew 7:11-7, Jesus gives tribute to John. He's about to give John praise. Verse 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? What does that mean? What does that mean, a reed shaking with the wind? In 1 Kings, I think it's 14 and 15, it speaks of, and let me see if I can't get it for you. I'm trying to use my laptop to see if I can pull up some scriptures to show you. And I'm going to read this again. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. In 1 Kings 14, 15, it refers to a conquering. It refers to a king. In verse 8, it says, but what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. So who wears the soft clothing? Kings, conquerors, rich people. What were they expecting to see when they saw John, when they went to see John the Baptist? A conqueror? a king? Verse 9. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yeah, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet of God, yes? But he was more than a prophet. Why? Verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And you can refer to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for download of free a cappella singing and gospel preaching. Verse 11 again. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So, you mean Abraham wasn't greater than him? You mean Moses wasn't greater than John the Baptist? Daniel, Job, Elijah, Elisha wasn't greater than John the Baptist? Not according to the scripture, and the scripture's truth. So listen to this. Notwithstanding the second part of this, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Okay, that's true, right? What is the kingdom of heaven? Isn't it the same, equals the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the church? Jesus said, when he rose again, he said, all power is given to me. This is Matthew 28, I think verse 18 or 19. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Is Jesus your king right now? Or is he going to be your king 1,000 years from now? He's my king right now. He's my king. He's my Lord. That means that there is a kingdom on earth. The kingdom of God is heaven and the church. All power is given unto Christ in heaven and in earth. He is our king right now. If he's not your king right now, you better make him your king right now. He's on the right hand of the Father, ruling right now as I speak. So that means that if we are the church, those that have obeyed the gospel and become Christian, that means we are greater than John the Baptist? Apparently so. I believe that, don't you? Those that stay in the will of God. Now, if you turn from God and you become a wicked old sinner, no, you ain't greater than John the Baptist. You're worse. And so like me, if I turn away. So I'm still going to try to work my soul fear and trembling, thus saith the Lord. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Wait a minute. There's violence in the kingdom of heaven? And the violent take it by force. Here on earth, isn't there violence on earth? Yeah. Isn't there wickedness on earth? Yeah. Aren't we that are Christians mingled with the wickedness on earth? It's like leavened bread. It's like leavening. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, where it says, Christ says, for even as Christ our Passover, Well, I guess if you can't quote it, might as well read it, right? Was sacrificed for us, was died for us. You know what I was thinking? I was looking for my glasses, and they were right here. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Bit of humor. Purge out therefore the old leaven in. The old, I'm from New York, so I say leaven. So if I say leaven, you say, where we're going? No, it's leaven, leaven. I apologize. Okay. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Those that are Christians should be unleavened. Okay? For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Brother Eric was teaching this in his class today, and I taught this in my class this morning. If you look up that word leaven in the scripture, all throughout the New Testament, you look and check and see if that leaven represents evil or good. The majority of the time, just about all of the times, two times neutral, with the woman that takes leaven and put it in three measures of meal. Now, I don't know if that's good or evil, but she hid it. Now, sin, we hide sin. We try to hide sin, right? Some people do sin in the open, out in the open. But everywhere you look in the New Testament, the leaven represents evil. Look it up for yourself. So we want to be a new lump. We want to be purged. We want to be Christians. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I'm going to read, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 again. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. I want to thank somebody for giving that to me. Thank you, Lord. So, we're going back to Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist, Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So we got the wicked people that they want what they want, and they're going to get it at whatever cost. You got the wicked people trying to usurp authority, disobeying the principalities or the offices. They don't want to obey the law or government. Now, not all government is right, of course. You know that, and I know that. But we want to do good. Make a long story short. Verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. All the prophets prophesied of what? They prophesied that Christ was coming. Until John. John, being the forerunner, was saying, hey, Christ is here. Christ is here. Verse 14, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, or Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, where it says Elias, this was Elias to come, that's in Malachi chapter 4. We're going to read it. Turn with me, please, to Malachi chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And this is the final admonition of the Old Testament. Before we get the New Testament, some 200 odd years later. Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yeah, and all that do wickedly. What are we talking about here? Good news and bad news, okay? Those that do good will receive the good news in the end. Those that do wickedly and die in your wickedness, I don't want to die in my wickedness. You receive bad news in the end. Bad news. Okay, again, Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yeah, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Do you know in the New Testament where it talks about the earth burning with the fervent heat? The earth is going to burn. Do you know John the Baptist? He talked about he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and with fire. Has that fire come yet? The Holy Spirit came, yes. But has that fire come yet? Baptized with fire? Don't you think that this world that's going to be burned with a fervent heat, don't you think that that's the baptism of fire that John the Baptist was talking about? You can refer to 2 Peter 3:10 and 3:10 and 12. You can refer to that. Because the earth will burn with a fervent heat. And it'll be bad news for those that are not in Christ, but good news for those that are. Malachi 4:1 again. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yeah, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord. He didn't say the days or the weeks or the months, but it's going to be a day. It's going to happen in a day. Yeah. And that day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. This is bad news. Now, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun, is it spelled S-U-N? S-U-N. Well, you call it the bright and morning star. But Jesus, this is referring to Jesus, is it not? The Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth, we that are Christians, that are abiding in Christ, that are presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall. And that's good news. Verse 3. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah. This was John the Baptist. Okay? If you don't know, if you didn't know, now you know. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great, good news, the great day. That's good news for those that are Christians. It's going to be a great day for us who are Christians. And dreadful, oh, bad news. Bad news, too bad, so sad for those of you who, after constantly being preached the gospel, haven't been constantly preached by me or some other person, has been constantly asked to come to church, has been constantly asked after all that time, and you still don't repent, it's going to be a dreadful day for you. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. That's good news. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's bad news. Where we are at in the Lord will determine whether it is good news or bad news for us in the end. So, where are you at in the Lord? Is this good news for you? Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 11. Verses 16 through 19. Matthew chapter 11. But whether unto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. We have piped, and ye have not danced. We gave you good news, and you have not rejoiced. We gave you mourning, we lamented, but you have not, we mourned and you have not lamented. We gave you the bad news. This is the good news. Christ our Savior is here. Obey the gospel and be saved. This is the bad news. If you don't do it, you're going to burn in hell forever. Let that ring in your head a little bit. It's ringing in mine. Verse 17 again. And saying, we have piped unto you, given the good news, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, given you the bad news, and ye have not lamented. And look at this. It doesn't matter. It's almost like darned if you do and darned if you don't for those wicked, rebellious people that won't turn. It don't matter what you do. But you got to try. Don't we love them enough to keep trying? Yes. Verse 18 again. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. You see, is there such a thing as a righteous indignation? A righteous anger? If I preach to you the gospel in an angry tone, you're like, oh, he's so angry, he got a devil. But if I preach to you in love, then you say, oh, this guy, he's drunk. Something's wrong with him. Oh, it's not something wrong with that person or that person. It's something wrong with you that don't obey the gospel of God. Verse 19 again, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children by their deeds. The deeds of the wise will justify the wise. The wise, is it foolish not to obey the gospel? Isn't it wise to obey it, receive it, and live? Who was mentioned in Matthew 11, 16 through 19, and why? John the Baptist, he preached fire and brimstone for those who didn't repent, which is bad news. Like the bad news of someone dying in a funeral. Bad news. Someone you love dies in a funeral, that's bad news. Jesus Christ, he is the husband and is coming to receive his bride, a wedding. And that's good news. Weddings and funerals are two events. If you notice, weddings and funerals are two events that should go just right. Should go just right. There's a scripture reference. I don't know if I gave it to Brother Adam, but in Matthew 22:11, you know, from Matthew 22 verses 1 through 13, It talks about the man that comes into the marriage feast and he has not on a wedding garment. And what happened to him? Bad news. He was thrown out. Don't you want everything to be perfect in your wedding? So don't you think God wants everything to be perfect in his son's wedding? Come ready. Funeral. If you were mourning a loved one, parents, your wife, your only child at a funeral, and some bozos came joking around and laughing and causing a ruckus, wouldn't you be furious? Weddings, good news. Funerals, bad news. But these, you want them just right, don't you? Well, I don't, remind me not to wear a veil. God bless you. I'm sure there are people here that want to be married. And at weddings, I like to rejoice. I'd love to sing at a wedding. Oh, I can't sing that good. I'd love to dance at a wedding. Well, I can't dance that good either. Okay? But weddings are good news. And then a burial. Well, I don't want my loved ones to die. And there's some loved ones in the church, some members in Christ that I love dearly, and I don't want them to die either. But if they do, I know that they'll make it to heaven. And I don't want to be dead spiritually. So we mourn at funerals, that's bad news. Isn't this a similarity in what leads a man to repentance? Two things that leads a man to repentance. One is the goodness of God. Romans 2:1, the goodness of God. God is so good. I mean, he's been blessing me thus far. I still have those that give me a hard time, yeah. And you know, life is not perfect here on earth, of course. I'm not going to go further with that. But the goodness of God. God has been blessing me. How about you? But there was a time when I felt he wasn't blessing me. I was being tested. I was being tried. I was being strengthened by God. And then when all that hard stuff was over, guess what? I felt so much better. Hallelujah. I thank God for the blessings that he's blessed me with. Now, there's another thing that works repentance too. Godly sorrow. Look at this. Good news works repentance. Because God is so good to us that we have to repent. We ought to repent. And then there's bad news. They call it godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians, you can refer to it, 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow, bad news, worketh repentance. But remember this, it is not enough. It is not enough to be sorry. It is not enough just to be sorry. There are people that are so sorry for their sins, but they're still sinning. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I fornicated, dear Lord. Oh, I'm so sorry. Go right back to it, man. That's crazy. Stop it. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not, I tell you what, you don't repent, then you're going to regret. So, I would pray that God, you and I, if we're in sin, that God calls us to repent before it's too late. Because God loves us, don't he? There's a couple of examples of those who were sorry but didn't repent. Esau, in the Old Testament, he's referred to in the New Testament, Hebrews 12, verses 14 to 17. And Judas, in the New Testament. When it says that Judas repented in Matthew 27:3, it is metamelomai, Sounds almost like watermelons, don't it? Don't worry, we got some food downstairs in about 15 minutes, okay? We'll feed you, okay? And you thank God for that. When it says Judas repented, it was metamelomai. That means to regret, not to repent, because to repent is metanuo. Got that? They are similar words. Regretting goes hand in hand. Regretting goes hand in hand with repenting, right? If you regret, you ought to repent. If you feel sorry, you ought to repent. They should go hand in hand. Just like believing. Believing goes hand in hand with faith. Believing is pistuo, faith is pistis. If you don't have pistuo, you can't have pistis. But you can have pistuo without pistis. I give my one-on-one class on faith. You know what faith is? Substance and evidence. Yes, yes. It's the proof that you believe. Faith is believing in the right God. And who's the right God? Whose son is Jesus Christ. And doing the right works. And what are the right works? That are in the Bible. What he commands us to obey. You got the wrong God, even though you do the right works, that's not faith. If you have the right God, though you have the right God, but you don't do the right works, that's not faith either. There's the faith class 101. We must obey the gospel. We must obey the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. He says, what is the gospel? It's the power of God unto salvation, isn't it? It's God's power to save us. It's how we are saved, by obeying the gospel. So in order to know to obey the gospel, you got to know what it is and how to obey it. That's how you step out on faith. Romans 1:16 again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, of the gospel, good news, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes. And if you look further in scripture, it's not just believe, but believe and obey. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, look at this. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's bad news. There is good news. There is bad news. We must obey the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I've also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. Is baptism necessary? Is baptism essential? If anybody says that it is not, then why was Jesus buried? He died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If you want to be a preacher, memorize that. 1 Corinthians 1 through 4. Memorize it and preach it. You want to be a church member? If you want to be a Christian, memorize that. Because though you may not be as eloquently as some folks are, I am uneloquently speaking that, but if you bring a person to the church, and the preacher preaching the gospel, and they say, hey, what did that preacher say the gospel was again? And you don't know.
I forgot.
Oh, you don't forget this gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I please memorize that as Christians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. You must remember it. For I delivered to you first of all that which I've also received. How do you receive the gospel? By obeying it. Yes. So the apostle Paul obeyed it himself. Amen. How that Christ, who's at the right hand of the Father? Who's the Son of God? Died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If any of you are not a Christian, you can become one right now. We have the baptismal water ready. It's good and full. If any of you are Christians but have fallen by the wayside, have backslidden, then you can repent and we can pray for you. We have response cards. You can fill them out and bring them to the front. If anybody wants has any prayers and supplications on anyone else's behalf, even your own, if you have prayer requests, you can bring them up also. Why don't you do that right now? Why don't you do that right now while we stand and sing the invitational song?